And I don't know what happened on the scripture there. That's the scripture about Jesus and the disciples plucking heads of grain on the Sabbath. I had it cited as Luke 6:17. Somebody find that and let's get the correct citation if we can. James read the correct one. Did you hear it? Did you hear what they read there? All right. Might have to read it in the sermon. It's somewhere in chapter 6. You can find that. We'll find that. You can look at it. This would be a good example of a time that you could turn and look in your Bibles. Isn't that a great thing? Preacher always telling you, look in your Bibles. It's a good thing to do. It's 1, verse 1. I was close. This has been a day for numbers, hasn't it? Goodness gracious. Happy Valentine's Day. I have to tell you a story. I, young pastor in Johnstown, Colorado, and just moved there. We were still getting settled in, so things were pretty disorganized. Sunday after worship, we were out of something and had to run to the grocery store. You ever run out of anything, have to run to the grocery store? Walked in the store, and one of the women from the church, Elizabeth Teal is her name, and she would not mind sharing this story, but she was in her 80s or 90s at that point, and she lived, if she didn't break 100, she came mighty close, but Elizabeth was just indomitable. But as I was walking in, she looked and she saw me, and she literally startled and jumped back. And she said, oh my goodness, here I am breaking the Sabbath, and the pastor caught me. She didn't think that through. The pastor was there breaking the Sabbath too. So there we were, both in the church together or in the store together. And I was a little bit surprised because, I've heard about the Ten Commandments. You heard of those things there? And thou shalt keep the Sabbath. That's one of those. Actually, here's what it says. It says, this is Exodus 28, theoretically. On today's number business, I can't guarantee anything. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son, your daughter, your everybody. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. That's the passage, that's the scripture, that's the directive, and that's the word right there. Where does it say do this or else? It does say thou shall rest, thou shall do no work. So that shall is a pretty firm sort of thing, but for me, I have always viewed this as a wonderful gift. Think about that for a moment. I don't know if you've really thought that through, but Sunday is my busiest day. If I said I'm not going to work on the Sabbath, where are we going to go from there? Neo, I know you're in the same boat, brother. Saturdays, and I heard a preacher once preach on that, and Fred Craddock, and he said, it was all a gathering of pastors that was for an ILF School of Theology. This is not in my sermon. We're just kind of an aside here. But all of us gathered were at a gathering of pastors, and he said, you know how it feels. You go in on Sunday, and it's a wonderful day, and you've worked hard, and it comes together, and there's a great sermon, and the music, and it's worship, and it's just heartwarming. You feel at peace, and you get home, and you sit down, and your first thought is, now what are we going to do next week? Do some of you do that in life with some of your jobs and some of the different projects that you're at, or your work, your homes, everything? This was an interesting passage about the Sabbath. And the Pharisees latched right onto it, and that it became a tool for them to whip people into submission, a place to chastise them and to make them follow their directives. Now, I take it seriously. I believe in taking Sabbath. I have Sabbath on a different day of the week. It appears, gathering with all the things that are going wrong, that I took all of last week off. I'm not 100% sure just what happened there, but Sabbath is that time to stop and set everything aside and give ourselves permission not to have to drive, not to feel like we should be working, not to feel guilty for sitting down, maybe watching a football game, reading a book, taking a nap, or sitting with your beloveds. A day of rest, it's a gift, not a mandate. Think about that. What if doctors and nurses and EMTs took off Sundays? That would be a rough thing. My day started at 5 a.m. Sirens and fire engine outside my house. Don't know what was happening, but it was Sabbath, and they shouldn't have been working, should they? But I'm glad they were taking care of whoever they were taking care of. I wish they hadn't woken me up, but that's another story. So it is a day of replenishment and a day of pause from my perspective. And as Jesus said, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day. You see, that's where the text comes in, and we'll get to that in a second. Now, we need to jump in there right now. Jesus is traveling with his disciples, and they're walking across the field, and the Pharisees were watching, trying to catch him at anything. They were just waiting to catch him. Have you ever met people like that who are just waiting to catch you for something that you might do wrong? I felt like that growing up. I had two older sisters, and oh my goodness. They were the police when it came to manners and all things right and wrong. And you get a little bit power, you get wild and woolly. But the disciples were walking along through a field of wheat, and they would take the wheat and roll it in their hands and then eat the wheat. I lived in Johnstown for a while, surrounded by wheat and barley fields, and I never did that. I should have taken a moment and go out in one of the wheat fields and tried rolling the wheat, the ripe wheat, and see what it was. Hopefully not get shot by a farmer. But here they were taking sustenance, and the Pharisees criticized him. And he said, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. It is about Jesus that we are and that we take pause. And the Sabbath was not made, we were not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for us. So we turn and remember that. That brings us to Jeremiah. I don't think I've ever preached on Jeremiah before. I don't like this scripture very much. Theoretically, it's the 17th chapter, beginning with the first fifth verse, and it says, thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in more mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in parched places of the wilderness, in uninhabited salt land. I have never liked that passage. It just feels very condemning, very harsh, very judgmental. And my first read of that is that if you do not turn your heart to God, God will curse you. Cursed are those, it says. But I think we need to think about that a moment. In our opening, in our call to worship, we did a little thing that's common in our church now. We said, God is good all the time. Amen. So how would a good God that loves us curse us if we don't turn to God? It seems to be a harsh, glaring contradiction there, and it is because we misread what's happening there. What we're talking about is that we make choices. Any of you make choices? Every day we seem to make choices. Every day we decide this and that. I am glad all of you chose to put on some clothes and come into worship this morning. Because we have a choice not to, don't we? Do you kind of feel that way? Sometimes you think, I don't know. It's a little harder when you're the pastor. But sometimes we make those choices about what we will and we won't do and how we shall and shall do it. And what's even funnier is that the world around us wants to guide our choices. Have you ever heard of advertising? They get paid so much money, it's not even money. The Super Bowl is this weekend, tomorrow, today. I'll get there sooner or later. Hang on with me. The Super Bowl, advertisements are over $7 million for 30 seconds. To advertise something, $7 million, that's that they have to pay to put it on. How much did it cost to produce that commercial? Think that through. Think how much money goes into putting out a commercial, and what's it aimed at? Making you choose what they want you to choose. Influencing our choices. Oh, and there are some wonderful things to choose. Shiny things, fast things, expensive things, sexy things, tasty things, ego-stroking things. Things that appear to give us status and place. Things promising to make our hearts full. Things promising to make us younger. Self-indulgent things. All those things that mortal humans are tempted towards. Power, status, those are right in the center of things. And the funniest part about it is people that are telling you to buy their product and you'll make money. Somehow that's an upside down statement, isn't it? Spend your money, they get your money. Somebody's making money somewhere. So these are choices that we make. Who will we choose? What will we choose? How will we be about that? Those are choices that we make. And if we choose to follow that path, the consumerist, the secular, the self-indulgent, then we will find ourselves in a dry, desolate desert. We'll find ourselves cursed indeed. We'll find ourselves alone and lost because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you try and indulge yourself. It is only through connecting with God and through fulfilling our spirits and refreshing and loving God and being loved in return, that is the only place that we will find what we truly seek. We choose, we make choices, and it is out of that that we can choose to have ourselves in a land filled with, let me find the scripture. See what I mean? I'm terribly disorganized this morning. I'm not sure what it's about. Then we shall be like trees planted by water, sending out roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes. Its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. This is not cursed. This is blessed. So we have that choice. We have that choice to turn and turn our hearts to the Lord God. God is good all the time. God is good. Let us turn our hearts to the Lord. Amen.